Hello, and welcome to Game of Groans, the podcast where I, Emily Bateman, finally start watching Game of Thrones to see what all the fuss is about. And today I'm joined by my sister, Kate Kabbalah.
Hello.
Hello.
It's happening. I'm awake.
That's good. But we're not alone. We have returning for his third time, but we just discussed this. It's been over a year from Super Bracket Bros and Ultimate Sports Mashup. It's Jay Davis. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to be back on the show. You're right. It has been a minute, but I'm excited to be back talking some Game of Thrones. I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
And you're awake too.
I am.
By force.
Exactly.
I forced both of you to get up.
Just barely. I'm not doing too bad this morning. I took a nap yesterday, so I had some trouble getting to sleep last night, but I'm here. I've made it through a bit of a long weekend, but I've arrived safe and sound and to pay my dues.
It's okay.
It's about time.
I'm pretty sure I fell asleep when I was playing with Evelyn. I was lying on the floor and I know I closed my eyes. Yeah, perfect. Naps are good when you can get them.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Emily's seen all of my like roller coaster from being like a working until 2 a.m. night person, and now I'm like kind of a morning person. Like this is like normal clock in work time for me. So like my eyes popped open at 8 today and I was like, well,
wow.
Let's go, I guess. I know. I'm like, I don't know who I am. I have no idea.
I'll take it. I'm gonna make you wake up earlier now.
No, I don't like it.
It's fine. We'll see. It's fine. We'll see. Yeah. So Jay, you said that it's been a minute. How was it jumping into over halfway through Game of Thrones, not even a premiere, not even anything. Like, how was it?
Just cruising in on episode 2.
Yeah, it felt I know what happens. I'm familiar with the story beats and stuff like that. So like but I know like the major beats, you know. And so like going back and watching this very very in between transitory episode, I felt very like I was just getting thrown from one place to another. And it's like, this is happening. This is happening. This is happening. And that was it. and all of a sudden the episode was over.
I feel like that all the time, honestly. Like every time I talk to Emily, I'm like, I swear to God, I've watched this show before. I promise. Especially like this episode, there were a lot of things that I had forgotten, or characters that I was like, oh, right, you're here. Like just,
yeah,
so many things. I had to look up so many names this episode. Oh my God. Mm. I was off my game. It was bad.
Yeah, I can tell you, I should have watched the first episode of this season because we're talking about season 2, but I wanted the true Game of Groans experience where I only kind of know what's going on. And so I was like, no, I'm only going to watch this episode. No context.
To be fair, honestly, the episode right before this wouldn't have even helped that much. Like the last episode of like the last episode of season 4, I think was more like, hey, let's go do stuff. Cause like it kind of, the last episode doesn't do quite as much, I think.
I think it sets up a few people like Varys and Tyrion and stuff like that. I think,
oh,
yeah,
that's true.
If, you know, I'm not saying you should have, but if you had watched, I think the premiere would have set up a few things of like, you know, that Tywin died and like, it's just, mm-hmm. Yes, Tywin. Okay, good.
Yeah.
you would have been reminded. Did you get a recap though, before you watched it?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a recap, and I had just, listened to your season 4 finale episode as well. Which I didn't watch the season 4 finale, but I had listened to your episode on it.
Did that come
that's out not
yet?
Out yet? No, that's not out yet. No, the
oh,
one where
I
it's all
it was
at the wall.
Finale, then.
That's
yeah.
The thing. It feels like a finale. No, it's the second to last episode.
It's not.
Oh my God.
Okay, no.
I'm currently editing
no,
the finale.
No, it's not just you.
The finale. Yeah, the finale's a big, yeah, because that's the one where Tywin dies. That's where the one where the Hound dies. Who else dies? There's like 4 people that die in that episode. I'm in the like, I have to finish editing that. So that's
oh, yeah.
all in my brain right now.
That's where we see Arya get on the boat to Braavos yep. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like that one's set up like that was a really big like setup episode, and then this like so first episode of season five was like it got some stuff done, but it was kind of reacting to all the stuff that had just happened. So this is sort of like back on that uphill.
So
like
truly, I picked a terrible episode for you.
No. This is fantastic. Because like we talk about Game of Thrones, like this, it's this absolutely amazing show. But then like I get thrown into an episode like this, and I was like entertained, but also it was very much just like it. Yeah, it reminds me that it's just a show. It's not like this like magical thing where every episode something gobsmocking crazy happens. You know, like it's a television show. You know, and so I think like honestly from that perspective, I did enjoy my viewing experience. So
I like that perspective. It's like a pointillism painting where like when you get really close, it's just a bunch of dots, and then you zoom out and you're like, oh, masterpiece, amazing.
Exactly.
That's why I'm here, is to let people know it's just a show. It has
Game
bad
of Thrones.
Things.
It's fun.
Meh. At the end of this, I'll be like,
Game of Thrones, a fine show.
Yeah. Game of Thrones is adequate.
It's a show.
That's our sticker.
It happened.
Game of Thrones, it's fine.
Oh my gosh. So we are doing something new in season five where, because when I watch it on Hulu through HBO, blah, 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 it gives me this little like 2-sentence synopsis of the episode. And I read them and I'm like, what the fuck? So I decided we get to read them and discuss them. So the one for this episode, which I don't think I've said yet, we watched season five, episode 2, The House of Black and White, which first of all, the name, I was like, I don't get it. And then you get it. So the description is Arya arrives in Braavos, / Stannis tempts Jon.
That's it.
That's it.
I think that's all that happens. I think that's I think it's good.
This is a really short episode, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't show up. We didn't tell you ahead of time, but yeah, this is a 15-minute episode. So just so you this is one of the like the interseason ones. It's like, and here, go ahead.
Honestly, I was skeptical because it said temps, and I feel like these people take like big swings when they write these little like 2 sentences. And I was like, really, temps John with what? And I was like, oh shit, he did. Okay. Well, that's accurate.
Yeah,
accurate. I would say probably focusing on the wrong thing. I mean, of the 2 things that happened to John, I would say that was the less important thing, to be fair. But it is technically accurate.
I don't know if it tries to avoid spoilers, like big things or not. I don't, we'll find out, I guess, throughout the seasons if it's like deliberately avoiding, because I don't know. Didn't these used to come out like before episodes would come out? Like the little, or no, it was the titles. The titles would come out before.
Yeah, episode titles are usually come out like ahead of time. Yeah. The descriptions, I feel like that's something that like on TV, like not TV Guide, but like, you know,
yes,
like
TV Guide.
It'll show up on stuff. Well, on the TV Guide, it says that Game of Thrones is on at 8 p.m. I'm so sorry. But yeah, like I think those like the episode descriptions, like they'll pop up sometimes, but I honestly never looked at them beforehand. So I don't know if like putting them back on streaming, I don't know if anything changed. I know sometimes like for Netflix, I know things used to like descriptions will change sometimes, but I feel like for these episodes, it's kind of
just set.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was anything like more or less descriptive as they were coming out. So.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know where else there would be a description besides maybe like IMDb, but I don't want to do that much research and be like, what does this one say? What is this? That's too much.
No, IMDb, that's a can of worms. And usually it strays way too far into just like summary. It's like, so this happens, then this happens. And I'm like, stop. No, that's not what I want.
Okay. So I guess we can just go ahead and jump in. Little recap. I did notice, I think you mentioned this last episode, Kate, that Winterfell does have the sigil of the Flayed Man instead of the Stark. So that was interesting and horrible.
Yeah.
But we don't even talk about Winterfell, so it's fine. And I noticed also, because Kate, you and I talked about once they toppled the harpy in Marine, was it still going to be in the statue? It was.
I completely forgot to look for it and I looked down.
It's still there.
That's so weird. They change everything else, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just spent so much money on that animatic that they were just like, nah, man, we're keeping that. That's our money one. Let's do that.
Yeah, that and the Bravos coin one. Those are the big ones. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, we jump in at Bravos and we pick up with Arya. And the nice man who I don't think we ever got his name is like educating her about Bravos and everything. And he's super chill. And I'm like, this is like a genuinely nice experience for her. So they arrive and he like takes her to shore and she's like smiling and that's nice. And we get this weird, and I don't know if it was indicative of anything, but the shot from like under the bridge. Did you guys notice that?
I did too. I literally wrote, we get it. It's Italy. It looked like nice shots. I was just like, it just seemed like an aesthetic choice. Like, I don't know if it was supposed to be like, oh, there's something lurking underneath the certain. I was like,
that's what I thought.
I feel like kind of, but I think at the same time, like it was just like so many pictures of like the vendors and what they're selling. And there's like watermelons and like fish. And I'm like, okay. And I don't know. It felt like one of those, like I'm building the world. I'm like, this is a cute little world, but like, I don't know. Like it seemed like it wanted that shot to be something specific. And we don't know enough about Bravos to know what that is yet.
Oh yeah. It was beautiful. Like I was surprised compared to like all of, you know, Westeros. It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
A nice refresh. Yeah.
A nice change. Yeah. And it's odd that we're here so much now in this other area. We don't know where, I thought he was just going to like take her to shore and they were going to go out and walk there, but he like continues rowing her in this little boat. And I was like, where the hell are we going? And He's like, the House of Black and White. And I was like, 2 minutes in and we get the title.
He said the thing. Yeah.
He did say the thing. And he's like, oh, you'll find the man that you seek here. So I guess she told him the whole, not the whole story, but some story of how she met Jaqen.
Either that, or if she says the thing, that's just what that means.
Yeah, that's what it implied to me, is that like whatever the coin means, whatever, you know, fell out the hiatus and whatever that indicates, like it was known. It was a known thing, you know, which is implied by, he says, any man of Bravos would have done the same. You know, so I think it's not like she had to convince him. It was very just like very straightforward. It was like, well, of course, like anybody would have done the same. Like any person from this part of the world knows what's up. So.
Oh, I thought she was like telling him her whole life story and shit. Okay, that makes more sense. I was like, oh my gosh, this man you don't know who like let you on his boat. You're telling him like, yeah, this and this. Okay. Yeah. Weird.
It's like, so here's my deal.
I mean, we got time is irrelevant, so we don't know how long they were on this boat. Like,
oh my god,
do we know? No,
that is true.
Time doesn't matter in Game of Thrones, so
just gonna fast travel. Yeah,
yes, like it took an episode in between, and then she's there. So Arya knocks on these giant black and white doors, which okay, nail on the head. And some guy in white robes answers, but says nothing. And she's like, hey, I got this coin. Is Jaqen there? He like says, no one here by that name. You have everywhere else to go. And just like turns her away. So she does this insane thing and sits on the steps and does not leave for at least one day. And just repeats her list, which is only four people now, so it
I was gonna say it got short
real quick. Yeah, so for at least a whole day, and it rains and it doesn't rain and whatever. So then she just decides to get up, throws the coin in the water with some like resolution, and walks away.
I liked the shots with this. Like, I thought they were like, I like when she walks away, it's like perfectly centered and everything. It just aesthetically, it's a very cool place. Like, I like the building with the columns and the door. And, like, when she's knocking on it, it's, like, right in the, like, she's knocking on, like, that middle part of the door, which is a wild choice. But at the same time, it's just, I like the way everything was, like, you know, centered up.
Yeah, I think it adds to, I mean, I guess I don't know if you felt this way, Emily, but I felt like it added to the mystery of it. You know, it appeared very ominous to me, like, going back and seeing it again for the first time in forever, and like the sort of air behind it. But yeah, at least that's how I felt retrospectively. But I don't mm-hmm. know if you necessarily got that, or if you were just like, that's the title of the thing, and didn't really have any punch to back up being the episode title, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think maybe because the episode was sandwiched, or not even almost sandwiched by that movie. I think in this scene, I was more focused on the antics of this young girl who people were also still so obsessed with. And I'm like, there's something wrong with her. I mean, there's many things wrong with her. And she's gone through a lot. But I'm like, I was just watching, like, what is going on? Like, she's just, and I don't know. She's.
It felt like a very, and I know there's a better comparison than this, but like the moment where, you know, like the student sits in front of the teacher's house for days and days and days to try to like get them to finally teach them the ways, mm-hmm. you know, like Doctor Strange trying to get the Ancient One to teach him, in the first movie, you know, that kind of moment where it's like, I'm going to be committed. And like thinking back, I was like, you know, like this is Arya's moment. You know, this is where she's going to, you know, sit there and waste away before, you know, she gets pulled in, and then she just walks mm-hmm. away. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Arya's like, screw this, throws the coin in the water. This sucks. I'm leaving.
Yeah, truly. I said, okay, it's the title, but then she left and I was like, I guess this isn't part of her journey. And then yeah, like it comes back around. But I was like, that is mm-hmm. a weird ask to have that as the title and be like, well, fuck this place.
Yeah. What if you never went back? What if that was it for the episode? It was like, well, guess we'll never know.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think maybe if I watched it again, I would see like the ominous idyllic shots and how pretty everything was. And like, I noticed the doors a little bit, but more because one was black and one was white. It wasn't like, oh, this is so intense and everything. I feel like for me, that'll come when we see her after she's entered. Cause it does. I think at the end of her scenes, it gives more mystery of like, she's going in.
That's true. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. for this one, it was just like, okay, like this is just a very confusing scene for me.
Yeah. Understood.
That's fair. They definitely have a lot of those scenes where it's just like, oh, this will pay off. Wait. And you're just like, okay, all right, just come back to me, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not ready yet. Come back to me.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, I have one. Give me, just circle back. Just hang on.
Mm-hmm. I have an answer. So then, oh, yeah, this was crazy. So then we go up north and Brienne and Podrick are arriving somewhere. Tavern.
Is that a parking lot?
I mean, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm only bringing this up because in the finale, their horses were gone. They only have one horse. We never find out why one of them was gone or what happened to them, but suddenly they only have one.
So I can tell you the behind the scenes filming reason why they didn't have horses, because where they were filming, I don't know if it was the city or the country, but there are restrictions on like how you can use animals within like filming in the entertainment industry, and so they literally like could not bring horses, and so they were just like, maybe their horses will be gone, and so that was how they got around that. Oh, Emily is holding her face.
That's buck wild.
That's so bad. That's like the worst writing ever. Like
the film industry.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm sure someone would have like pointed it out if they didn't have them, but I would have never noticed, I think, like that they didn't have them for one episode and then they did again. I was more focused now because I was like, they said they lost their horses, but they lost one? Whatever.
Yeah. It's a good question.
The things I ask. So they go into the tavern, they're eating. Podrick thinks the barmaid is pretty. And I literally gasped, like, because I saw Littlefinger and Sansa, and I was like, oh, no.
Like, I know.
No way. Like, that's not
another misconnection.
No, well, that's what I thought.
Same.
So then we go to Littlefinger and Sansa, and Sansa brings up the scroll, which I was surprised because that happened two episodes ago, two ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, so BT Dubs, what did you get? And Littlefinger was like, oh, my marriage proposal was accepted. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? We don't get any information about that.
No, she asks a follow-up and he is just like, we'll see. He makes that stupid face.
It's not a follow-up. She's just like, well, I thought you were still mourning Liza. It wasn't even like, who are you marrying?
Yeah. He makes that little squirrely face.
Ugh. Yeah.
We can all agree.
I just knew exactly what you were talking about when you said that, and I was just like, I gagged a little bit. I was like, yeah. Oh. God.
But little do you know, it's like, shut up, Littlefinger. My God.
What a creep, dude. Oh,
they truly picked the best. When I say best looking, it's best looking for this role actor. Like, truly, he just embodies, and it's not just his acting, it's also his looks. I'm like, I don't know how the fuck they found this guy, but kudos.
It's truly, I mean, how does your face do that? It's so good.
It had to be, honestly, could it be the best casting in the whole show? Yeah. Like, honestly, like, he invokes such a deception and ire from those from people that watch the show, and it's just so easily mutually like, this guy's a motherfucker. he is just the worst at every turn, so it's just like, it honestly, I'm kind of amazed. As much as repulsed, I'm also amazed by a person that consumes media and likes to parse it and figure it out and stuff, and so Littlefinger, incredible, honestly,
especially if you're normally good at dividing the actor from the character. There are definitely people where I'm like, you played such a good dirtbag in this, but I really like you as a person, and so many of the casting choices from Game of Thrones, I'm just like, fuck this guy, he's terrible and the character he plays, my God, he shouldn't be so good at this. It's the poor kid who played Joffrey who just
quit.
Yeah, basically he was like, all right, I'm out. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You're so good.
Hopefully he made enough money.
Sorry, everyone's mad at you. He had to have.
I would hope so, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like even retrospectively now, he could still make money off of it. He could write books about his experience and stuff like that and get paid. So he's got the clout to be able to, I bet. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about a character that wasn't here in this.
Yeah,
that's
hella dead. Yes. Oh, yeah. So Podrick's still eyeing this woman. And while he's eyeing her, he sees Littlefinger. And he, because he was trained by Tyrion, is very good at recognizing people, at least. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, shit. And he's like, that's Sansa, but her hair's dyed, which subliminally, I was like, her hair's darker, but that did not register. So I'm like, good for you.
Same here.
And he tells Brienne and he's like, but I don't think it's the right time. And she's like, let's fucking go. And I was like, oh no. She's like, ready our horses. And he's like, we only have one horse. And she says, find more. So he gets up and leaves.
He goes, yes, ma'am.
Good pod.
Yeah. I mean, if so nothing good. Else, he does listen. I was surprised he didn't try and convince her more or even refuse. So then we go back to Sansa and Littlefinger, focus on them for a second. And then Brienne approaches and his posse or the knights or whatever stop her. But Littlefinger recognizes her. And what did he say? It was something about her. It was because she worked for, she met him when she was working for Renly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But oh, he makes some crack about her armor, her nice armor. Yeah. And I was like,
oh no,
man.
He said, your loyalty came free of charge. And basically it's like, it looks like someone's actually paying you now. Something like that. I wrote down the first part, but not the second part where it was just like, look at you. You have nice things now.
I mean, truly her accepting that has like really ruined her life because it did not help her with the Hound and Arya ran away. And like, again, just fuck, man, Jaime was doing a nice thing. And then it blew up in her face twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's honestly, it's blood money, right? Like that's what it is. Like it's tainted, you know, and it's so unfortunate because of how good Brienne is, you know, and yeah, it feels bad. It's just a feels bad man moment. Like,
yeah.
And he was so quick about it too. Like just instantly like, oh, I see you've gotten an upgrade. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I mean, granted, I think he would have like pinpointed anything, you know, like if she didn't have nicer armor, it'd be like, oh, I see you haven't gotten an upgrade recently. It's like, oh, you're still wearing that shabby old armor, huh? You know, like it would have been something else. Honestly, like he would have found a way.
Brienne of Tarth is a fugly slut. Do not trust her.
Now holy I want shit. Game of Thrones as Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. I will dig into Tumblr. I will find something for
we're
you.
We're doing this now. We're quitting this podcast. We're solely focusing on
fan casting Mean Girls.
We're done.
Okay. Comparing every episode of Game of Thrones to Mean Girls. You have to watch the movie with every episode and compare and contrast and be like, okay.
In this episode,
who are your mean girls? Regina George. You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How many of you have been personally victimized by Littlefinger?
Exactly.
I mean, truly, he is the Regina George of this show.
Jon Snow talking about things. He doesn't even go here.
I mean, Jon Snow doesn't even. Let's. I mean,
I just have a lot of feelings.
I'm sorry.
Did you just watch that recently?
No, I just know it.
Okay.
I was born in the late 80s. It's encyclopedic knowledge. Yeah.
I know.
I watched Mean Girls for the first time a couple years ago, and it's a good movie. Oh. Like, it's actually a good movie.
It's
like,
good. It's so good.
Does it hold up for you?
Well, it was so meme to death. I was like, there's no way this movie's good. I was like, there's absolutely no way. Like, but I watched it and I laughed and I was like, this is funny. This actually has good humor and stuff. And I was like, I was legitimately surprised. But like, yeah, like, I thought Mean Girls is great. Honestly, like, yeah, yes. I think Mean Girls Game of Thrones crossover's got to happen sometime.
Oh my god, Patreon!
Yes. Yeah. Let's go, Patreon. Tell us what you want.
Oh my god. So, God, we haven't even gotten anywhere.
I'm on page two. It's okay. We're getting there.
Yes. So Littlefinger lets her approach. So immediately Brienne just turns to Sansa, like faces Sansa and like kneels and swears very eloquently that she will protect Sansa. And honestly, it came out really compelling. And then Littlefinger cuts her off at the knees and is like, you don't have to be so formal. And like just starts trying to poke holes in her whole damn story.
Yeah, and that's where, like, I mean, honestly, I think if she knew Sansa better, she could have made a different sort of plea to her, I think, and certainly, you know, maybe a different person could have been less formal and like broached her like heavy defenses, you know, like she's got a very like solid wall for good reason, as Brienne states later. She's like, I get it, you know, like I understand like why she's wary of strangers. I totally understand. And so I think, but it's the same thing where I think if she had been less formal, Littlefinger would have been like, how dare you address her in such an informal way? You know, like it's literally just like he would have torn her down no matter what it took. And it would have been really hard to get to. And I think, you know, like she's not aware that Sansa is also playing the game, right? You know, that Sansa is aware of things like that. She's like, you know, in there, she's not playing as passively as she has when she was younger. So I think, you know, that was also, you know, potentially it just never would have happened too. So yeah, I did think this scene, this exchange was interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point though, because I always think of him as so, every time he surprises me how quick-witted, I mean, it's fake, it's written, whatever, but this mm-hmm. person is so quick to point out anything and brings up Renly's murder, which truly I had not thought about in a while. And I was like, oh, I forgot that she was accused of that. And poor Brienne, like, man, she's just not having any wins recently. So she has to explain to Sansa it was a shadow. And Sansa hasn't really seen any magic. So she's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And Brienne asks, like, why Littlefinger should have any say in her, like, life at all. Like, why are you cutting in when I'm just talking to her? And he's like, oh, BT Dubs, I'm her uncle. So that seems to, like, I thought for a second some sort of connection was drawn. Like, Brienne, she made this kind of face of like, oh, okay, something else has happened that I don't know about kind of thing.
I think a little bit of just like the fact that it's like, oh no, like we're relatives now. And she's like, how the fuck did that happen? Hang on. What's no.
Yeah, I think so. So Brienne like pleads with Sansa, can I talk to you alone? And she just flat out refuses quicker than anything. Mm-hmm. But her reasoning, which I forgot about again, was I saw you at King's Landing bowing to Joffrey. And Brienne rightly says, neither of us wanted to be there. Sometimes we don't have a choice, which I feel like she said with such sincerity that I believed her. But then Sansa comes back with, and sometimes we do, you should leave. And I was like, well, fuck. Like, I mean, that was just.
Sansa continually like is interesting and frustrating because, but like she's also regularly, I think, put in some of the most difficult situations, you know, like, and so I think that it's, oh God, because you want her to just be like, yes, like kill all these freaking knights, like just like, get me out of here. Yeah, because Brienne would like, and she would, and she would save her. You know, I have full confidence in her to be able to do so. But like, yeah, it's like, no, she's in this. She's gonna see it through, you know, and you know she's got her own stuff going on. So yeah, but it's still it doesn't make it not like, ugh, like please just give yourself a break.
You just want her to know everything that you know and like,
oh yeah,
like
yeah.
make that yeah, right choice. And you're just like, I know this is the right thing to do. I know you shouldn't do this. And she's just like, well, I guess I'll stay here. And you're like, no, that's the wrong choice. Don't.
I mean, it's truly the same though with Arya. So Brienne's just batting zero right now, because Arya was the same way, because the Hound was like, oh, where did you get that, Jaime Lannister? And Arya's like, the fuck? You're friends with Jaime Lannister? Fuck no. So, yeah, just circumstantially, yeah, you want her to explain to this 15-year-old maybe, like, this is what happened. I'm sincere. This is real. Don't trust this guy. And I think on some level, Sansa knows this, but she's going to stick with what she knows versus what she doesn't. So
it's the devil, you know, right? You know, like it's very much that kind of situation. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So then Littlefinger asks Brienne to stay for whatever reason. I didn't really understand. Sansa says nothing. So then Brienne turns to leave and the knights try and stop her, which felt weird, and then it escalates into a fight. So she hits one and runs, and like Pod's ready with a horse and ready to go, and so they run away. And I'm like, what? Why is this? Why did this even escalate? Like, I feel like Brienne is kind of unraveling. And
I mean, a little bit.
Like, just I think kind of it's anger.
I think it's like she had a plan. She knew how she wanted this to go. She did not take into account that was not how it was going to go. And now she's like, I got to go. I got to get out of this.
Yeah. So like a chase in the wood ensues. Podrick and Brienne split off, not on purpose. Brienne like quickly sees Sansa and Littlefinger leaving. So she knows where they're going. But then she has to find Podrick and save him from being killed. And so Brienne says, they're going on the East Road. I know where they're going. We need to follow them. And Podrick's like, well, you know, maybe you're free of your vow because you tried and you did the thing and they said no. And so Brienne like turns it on her head and says, well, do you think Sansa's safe? And Podrick's like, well, no.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
Podrick's like, you have a point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right.
I thought it was interesting he tried to kind of dissuade her, though, because then they wouldn't have anywhere to go.
I mean, Pod, like, I mean, you think about who he was trained by before this, like, you know, like, and where he learned. Obviously, you know, like, we like Pod, you know, like, I think that's, like, universal, but, like, he still, like, is a little, he's not nearly as virtuous, he's not nearly as corrupt, you know, I feel like, you know, he's not on an extreme of any of these spectrums, you know, where he's not devious. So I think he's truly just like, Bran, you know, like, please, like, you know, for your own sanity, you know, like, yeah, can we do this, please? And, you know, I think, like, he still does, you know, have enough commitment to where he's like, all right, you know, let's go. I, you know, if you're in it, I'm in it with you, you know, kind of thing. So
He's a good counterpoint for whoever he's with. Like with Tyrion, he was like, he was kind of like, hey, you know, maybe you don't need to immediately start drinking. Maybe we like think these things through, like kind of, you know, learning from Tyrion, but also like providing that balance. And then with Brienne, he's like, I know you're honor bound. I know these are, you know, like your values, but like, have you considered that maybe your values aren't everyone else's? And so he's a good, like, sort of a temper for whoever he's working with, which is nice.
Yeah, because he's kind of neutral. So it's a nice foil for whoever. That's a good point. So then we go to King's Landing and Cersei's looking upset. And so Jaime enters and says that she summoned him. So there's this weird box and for whatever reason, Jaime knows to open it. It was like this weird exchange and he like presses it and it opens and there's like a stuffed snake with Marcella's necklace. Like out of fucking nowhere.
Very
and
subtle.
So Jaime's like, it's a threat. And Cersei's like, of course it's a threat. She's really bitchy.
Oh my God. This episode. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, she was mean to the one person that loves her. And I was like, okay, girl, like, you need to calm down.
I want to talk about this a whole bunch.
Yeah, yeah, so Cersei's, like, working herself up into some sort of, like, frenzy anger. Because, I mean, understandably, like, yes, I am a mom. If someone threatened my daughter who was not with me, I get it. But, like, lady, so Jamie's like, be quiet. Like, you need to not be so loud about telling people that that's our daughter. And she gets really mean and was like, well, you've never been a father to them. And what has it done? One of them's dead and all this shit. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, what the fuck does she mean by that? What are her expectations? Like, truly, I was like, what realistically, in what world could he be? Yeah, like, this is an unfair expectation. It's not like he hasn't literally been there their entire lives. Like, he hasn't gone anywhere. I don't understand what she's asking of him. I was so annoyed. I paused it and I was like, he's a deadbeat who just like escaped and like never spoke to her again. I'm like, he hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't married anyone. He hasn't left. I don't know what more you need from this man.
It's just like, it just is further serves that she's absolutely delusional. You know, like, she's so smart and she's so deceiving and she can like make incredible things happen with her deception and get what she wants. But then like the one time she does, like every time like she doesn't, then it's off to the races, like, you know, blame game, like, you know, like everything, you know, everything stops. It's, you know, and so even in this, like, there's no way in which he could have been, or there's literally no way Jaime wins against this argument. You know, there's absolutely no way he can actually push back. And so, like, then Jaime, like, being who he is and, like, trying to like do what he thinks is best, like offers to take on this mission, which like I was like, oh yeah. I forgot about this. Holy crap.
But then that's still not enough for her. Then she's still like, oh my God, like I can't believe you're doing this. It's like, so you wanted him to do something, but then he decides to do something, and then that's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. what do you want? What is happening?
It kind of felt like the irrational woman in anger from like an insane person's perspective. Like it kind of felt not necessarily sexist, but it's like, oh my gosh, this woman, she feels
like she's
threatened
hysterical.
And she's angry.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's like when people say, oh yeah, you can never win an argument with your wife or what, you know, it's one of those, like everything that they say is right. You can never be right. This and this and this. And it kind of felt like that because he says, well, I'll make things better. And she says, you've never made anything better. I was like, bitch, okay. Like, you need to calm down. And so Jamie, the not normal man of action, was like, well, yeah. I'll go get her. I'll literally, like, take her. I'm not going to. So she keeps trying to figure out, like, something wrong with his plan. So, she's just throwing out her anger at whoever and whatever, basically just him. Mm-hmm. So finally, she kind of sits back when he asks, like, do you know where she normally is? And she's like, well, Oberyn did mention she's normally at the Water Gardens. And so she keeps, like, disbelieving him. Like, I don't think you can do this, basically. And he's like, well, you're going to do it alone with one hand? And he's like, no. And I was like, this was awful.
Yeah, it was it was super dysfunctional and frustrating. And just, like, watching, mm-hmm. like, watching it, I'm just, it seemed, not that it seems out of character. It just seemed, it was just very hard to figure out, like, what her expectation was. Like, whether she's trying to get him to do something specific or whether it's just, like, I'm going to make you feel bad because then I'll feel better. You know?
I feel like that was it because nothing said, no solution he came up with. She
was good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just like, I'm mad and you're here. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's a bully, you know, so.
Truly. Yeah, he just takes it. I'm like, Jamie, what is wrong with you? I'm secretly glad though that he's getting away from her. Like, I was surprised that this, like, kind of thread was being pulled at all. So I was like, okay, I'm kind of into this. But oh man, I was like, that is not okay. Like, not like you can never, it's like one of the rules that I live by is like, you can never unsay something. Like, no matter what, if it's like, because some people, you know, like in a marriage or a relationship, well, I said it when I was angry. Okay, but people from, like, you can't unsay that. You said you've never made anything better to the person you love and you had kids with? Like, what?
Yeah.
That's so horrible. Any sympathy I had for Cersei, gone right now.
Yeah.
She is very complicated and she's very hard to empathize with a lot of the time. Like, even if you can kind of step back and say, okay, I understand why you were so upset about this, about whatever it is. Even if you can kind of step back and understand some of it, it's very, very hard to, like, put yourself in her shoes and say, yeah, I would do the same thing. Like, there are very few instances where I'm like, good move, Cersei. Good
same
job.
Girl. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So did you know who Jamie was going to go get?
I hadn't. Well, I don't know. I think when they cut to where
they
were.
They don't give you much time to think about it. Yeah.
Right. I think it was like, I don't think if you had asked me if I had paused it right then and like tried to think of someone, it might have taken me a second. But they cut to this like kind of idyllic looking castle. And I was like, oh, wait. Okay. Like, I think I know who this is. And. Mm-hmm. Cut to Bronn, which I feel like last time we talked about him, I was like, I don't see him coming back. And
you did say that. You were just like, he's going to leave and get married and it's fine. And we went, okay, bye, Bronn.
But he's not dead. So that means he has to come back. Yeah, he's like clearly not really interested in his future wife and like in his fancy ass clothes. And this woman's talking about how mean her older sister is. And I think it was intentional that he said, oh, meanness comes around and everyone gets what's coming to them, and appear Jamie Lannister. And I was like, aha, here
symbolism.
We go.
Yeah, I thought it was Very. I like Bronn as a character. I mean, I don't like him. I don't think I'd like to hang out with him. Like, not in that way. But him, I thought it was like, maybe it was fitting. Maybe it's just been a while since I've watched it. But I was like, man, you're gonna kill her older sister to get this castle. And I was like, that's kind of wild. Like, I felt like that was a bit much. But obviously, none of that matters because like he's getting brought back into the mess that is Game of Thrones. He does not.
They pull him back in.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't get his happily ever after.
No, well, not right now. So, yeah, but I agree though, because I feel like the last time we talked to Bronn when he was leaving Tyrion before his trial, he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get married and this and this and this," and he's like, "Well, if an accident happened to the sister," and I was like, "Yeah, that feels a little odd." Like, I get that he's, you know, ruthless in a sellsword, but I was like, "This is." No one's paying you to. It did feel a little weird that that's where he goes to get that. But if it was like, offered to him,
this one's for me,
right? Yeah,
this one's on the house.
Yeah, this is my.
You
got to
do something for yourself once in a
while. You know, it's called self care.
Treat yourself. Yeah. So, and I analyze things all the time, but I was looking at Jamie. Wasn't he like kneeling and in some red leather jacket? And I was like, what the fuck is he doing? He
wasn't like that. Yeah.
He was like in the grass. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
He'd been there for a bit. He was like, boy, are my legs tired? I'm going to take a break.
But like, okay. And I'm sorry that, you know, since he's, I don't know, because Kate and I have gone back and forth about the attractiveness of the man who plays Jaime Lannister and what have you. And I'm sorry, Jay, that you have to even listen to this. But I think the armor doesn't do it because he looked way better here. And I was like, something happened. I don't know what it was, but I'm here for it.
No, that's fair. No,
I love
it. It's good. It's a good look.
As soon as I remembered this, I was like, okay. Yeah. You know, I was, you know, on board with this journey they're about to embark on. I was like,
yeah. I was like, oh, I'm here for this now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like when you were talking about the beard, how like he, when he dresses down and he grunges up a little bit more. Yes. Yeah. That's,
I noticed. Yes. So yeah, Bronn introduces his future wife, and she is like, "Oh, hello," and she's then, smitten. Oh my, that was my literal note. She is smitten. Yes, yeah. And so Bronn was like, "Go away now," and she's like, "Damn it! Like I don't get to be here to meet
Jaime
Lannister."
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, well, because she was talking about, well, that's what happens at the Capitol, and this, and this, and this, and oh my God, a Lannister's here! Like, let me be all up in this, and he's like, "Go away!"
Oh my God, yeah.
So Jamie like very casually tries to make small talk, and Bronn's like, what the fuck do you want? Why are you here?
Understandably.
Totally. Yeah. If a Lannister shows up at your doorstep, like, get the fuck away.
I know.
So Jamie has news that Cersei has magically canceled Bronn's engagement. And Jamie's like, hey, come with me instead. We'll get you a better girl and a better castle. And you have nothing else now. So
it's so frustrating, like just showing up and just fucking with Bronn's life like this.
He should know better. I mean, well, even Jamie said, like, I would have advised against you making that. But really, he should know better because he's dealt with so many Lannisters.
Yeah.
Like, just when he thought he had escaped, you can just cancel someone's engagement.
Yeah. Amazing. It's kind of buck wild, the power that's like exerted by this move. It's just like, oh, you know, it's literally just like picking up pieces on a board and placing them. You know, it's insane.
It is very chess piece. It's just like, actually, no, you go over here now.
Yeah, it's like I was gonna let this pawn retire and live a happy life, but actually we're gonna bring him back on the board, you know,
back into the fray.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's not even that, like, his engagement's broken. It's this woman is now engaged to an entirely different man. Like,
whomst? What's happening?
I didn't even write the name down because hopefully I don't have to think about it. But I really didn't expect. I thought it was going to be Jamie's just going to go, like, somehow magically convince him. No, it's like, we have taken everything from you to convince you, in air quotes, to come on this mission. So Cersei's backing the mission, which is confusing because of the previous
scene. She's going to be a bitch about it anyways.
I mean, on par.
Yeah, I love that it's just like, hey, what's up, Bron? We're just going to burn down your life casually. Can you come help us with a thing?
Yeah, you've been in King's Landing for so long and you left and wait, hold on. We have to take you somewhere else.
Actually, we need you for this.
Yes. So, of course, we have to cut to where Myrcella is, which is Dorne, right?
Yes.
But we're focused on... I could not remember this woman's name, and I did not look it up. It's Oberyn's...
Alaria.
Yes. His paramour.
Mm-hmm.
Alaria, I'm writing that down. So she... And this is just... So she has this, like, snake jewelry wrist thing.
Yes.
And my first, before I found out, was like, did she send the threat? Because it's got fucking snakes on it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she did now at the end of this scene.
Interesting.
I feel like she did.
What makes you say that? That's a very interesting take.
A person that I didn't think I had to think about anymore.
isn't it funny how that keeps happening to you?
Yeah,
you're like, and that's a season wrap on. Oh, shit.
I should have known that.
Oh, no, you're back.
She was in the recap for a second. So I was like, that. I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
So she's just like creepily spying on Myrcella and this Prince Tristain, whatever it was in the subtitles. So she goes to see he's in charge? Like, is he like the not king, but he's just the matriarch, that is the wrong word. monarch. Wow, that's what I was looking for.
There you go. I know he's Oberyn's older brother. I know he was the one who couldn't come to the wedding for reasons. I don't know why he's a prince and not king. I have no idea.
All right.
Whoever Myrcella is marrying, that kid's going to be king.
Right. That makes sense. That's why there's a marriage happening.
I don't know why that kid's going to be king, but I know that kid's going to be king of Dorne.
Love
it. And so like he's a placeholder essentially in a similar vein of like Cersei as queen mother. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Got okay. It. That
makes
you.
Sense.
See, this is why we have guests, Kate.
Hell yeah. we have too much of a vacuum here where we're both like, oh.
God, that makes us sound so bad.
Well, no, you have an excuse for not knowing. I'm just like, I have never rewatched any of this. I watched it all the one time and then I just went, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then I said, let me be on your podcast. I'm an expert. I lied my way to the top.
Your words, not mine.
Nepotism.
Ease of use, I'm not sure.
I'm convenient.
So Alaria is really pissed that Myrcella gets to walk around and Oberyn's dead. And is it Doran? How did they say his name?
I don't know how they said it. I had to look it up afterwards.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think
they
said it. Yeah.
I don't think they did either. He said, like, it wasn't murder. It was, quote, fair. Like, it happened in a trial. Like, this is not something to get all up in arms about. And Alaria says, well, the country wants to go to war. And the sand snakes, whoever the fuck they are, with her. And I was like, why are we adding more plot and more things and more people? But she's, like, all gung-ho and super wants to kill Myrcella and offers to. And the dude's like, we don't mutilate little girls for vengeance. And I'm like, okay, this guy's not bad.
Yeah. And it's exactly what Oberyn said when Cersei actually had that conversation with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, not here, not while I rule, which that sounds bad because now I'm like, oh no, that's not permanent. So, but I feel like my bar is really low for people in Game of Thrones because I'm like, he doesn't want to cut off little girls' fingers. A-okay in my book.
It's like, you're a good guy now.
You're on the good list right now. Yeah, so, like, all of this shit is happening, which, I mean, makes sense because they're going to go get Myrcella. But I'm like, man, of course we had to add more people in places.
We just lost a bunch. We got to add a new group now.
This is your first time seeing Dorne ever, right? Like, any part of it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to remember if this was the first time that we've ever even seen, because like that was always my thing with this plot line is like they talk about Marcella a lot. Like she gets moved around as like one of the pieces on the board. So then like when I saw her in person, I was like, wait, who was that? That was a Lannister? Wait, what? I remember when I first watched this, like being very confused at like why suddenly this was important, because like talking about a thing happening and it being important in that moment, it was easy to forget versus like now we're here and I like understand and I see like this, you know, what Dorne actually is. Like it's its own country with its own rulers, with its own politics and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, okay. You know, like this isn't some small kingdom. Like they're people that, you know, like think that they can go to war with the Lannisters at the very least, you know, without being completely unreasonable. So I remember watching and being like, oh, okay. But you're right. It's another world. It's another thing you got to pay attention to.
Yeah. You're right. It did make them much more like key players than it did. Like when you just meet Oberyn, like outside of that element, it's just like, okay, what's this guy's deal? And then it's like, oh no, he's like part of a way bigger structure.
Right. Mm-hmm. You think they come from some small place, and we haven't physically seen Marcella probably in a couple seasons because she was sent away before. Wasn't it before the Battle of Blackwater?
I think so.
Because Joffrey was still in charge and Cersei was all mad at Tyrion for sending her away and creating this relationship and stuff like that. So, like this is a large place and they have a lot going on and it adds a lot. Because honestly, like Cersei's been sad about Marcella for a long time, but I guess now she's like, well, it's been on my to-do list for a while. And now the threat has moved it up to number one. So we got to talk about it and go there, I guess.
Well, she's losing people to keep to fucking take care of, honestly. Like her dad's not there anymore.
She's just losing people.
Honestly, she's just like, okay, who can I freak out over right now? Like she's, you know, she's stressed about Tommen, but like she can see Tommen. Like, it's just like, okay, what's alert number one right now? It's the one that I don't have in my house.
Yeah, that's the reminder on my phone that keeps going off now. And we're going to focus on that. And Jamie's back, so Jamie can go do it. Yeah, I just get surprised at how this show just moves and Jamie going to get their daughter, like, never would have guessed that in my life. And it's still, we're in season 5 and I'm still like, I don't know where the fuck we're going. What is happening? Where are we going to end up? There's a throne. Like that's and allegedly a game. I don't know.
Hey man, it's not about the journey. It's about the destination. Wait, no, that's the wrong one.
Nope.
It's not about the throne. It's about the game, man.
I mean, okay. Well,
I mean,
no.
Don't tell Stannis that.
Yeah. That's right. We haven't talked about Mr. Grumpy Pants yet.
Like that. No, we have to go to Marineford, which, oof.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hate this for us. So, what are these guys called? The Unsullied are like roaming the streets in formation, and Dario and Grey Worm are talking about, we haven't found the Sons of the Harpies yet. And Dario's like, well, it's because you guys don't blend in. And the second sons, we blend in and we hear shit. So they break into this house and no one's there.
You should be chill like us.
Yeah, kind of like, you know. Yeah. So he's talking about fear. And I think Grey Worm says, like, I'm not afraid of anything or whatever. And Dario's like, well, someone who has forgotten fear has forgotten how to hide, and stabs into the fucking wall and a person comes out. Like, of all the places that someone would hide, I was not going to guess there. I was looking around.
I know. I was like, I saw like what the move was and I was like, oh, okay, he's going to like stab into whatever. Nope. I thought I saw like a barrel or like a chest or something. And I was like, it's in there. But I was like, nope, just the whole ass wall.
Just the wall. Like,
and like a Zelda puzzle.
Yes. If I had known to do that in Zelda. Da, 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 da. You found a heart, but it's inside a man, so it's different.
Oh, no! They found several pieces of a heart.
Oh, no. So, yeah, so the guy falls out. They arrest him, and they find another gold mask, which we don't know how many there are of this. Kate and I, we episode has not come out currently, but we're questioning the, I guess, what's the right
sustainability?
Word? Yes, of the gold masks. Like, how many are there?
Oh my Why? God.
Like, right? If you leave one when you kill someone, it doesn't make sense. You know,
how many gold masks are you going through a week? Like, honestly, in this economy, what's happening?
I don't think the inflation of the Game of Thrones universe matches the inflation of the real world. But
well,
yeah,
not with
I
that
can,
attitude.
I can understand. I mean, if anything, it just represents how rich they are. You know, like how
honestly,
rich
the
former masters were, that they can just, right. You know, they've got some great production line somewhere. You know, like
already have one, or like are these like being cranked out like daily? Is there like one guy who's like smelting them down? Going, all right,
they're
here
called
you go.
The Sons of the Harpy for some reason. So maybe they just do that anyway.
Maybe.
They Maybe. Somebody knew the mask, like they knew who it was. So anyway, we cut to Daenerys's interesting council meeting, which now includes Hisdar and Mossadar, who is this apparently former slave who's just now one of her advisors and like gets to say things.
Basically, after the last episode, like the last episode was the first time I remember him popping up.
He appeared.
And
exactly.
He was one of the people that Grey Worm like talked into like rebelling and stuff. I'm sure if I go back, he's probably in that episode. But I'm just like, this is the first time where it's just like, we need this take. And I'm like, why this guy?
Good question.
I feel like they obviously just needed someone to fill this role, like and so they picked somebody who could be semi-recognizable from the end of season 4 to like fill this role, because they just wanted someone that Daenerys would have to make a tough decision in regards to, you know, it didn't really matter who, at least to me, like watching this, that's how I felt.
Yeah, I think it was just more. When you don't know the end of this episode, it was like questioning, why this guy? Why did we, or maybe not necessarily why you needed someone like this on your council? Because if you got Hisdar, who's like the nobleman, if you got Mossadar, who's like, you get two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
But this, he was just a big swing.
The perspective is important, and it's nice to see that she like has slightly more balance. But at the same time, it's just like, is this really the most balanced opposite side you could find?
Yeah, it didn't feel like it. Because they both felt like extremes, because Mossadar, he just says, well, all the, they're just debating.
Mossadar just says, eat the rich, like, let's go.
I mean, because they're all like going around in a circle debating whether this man should be killed or not. And Barristan, who, poor Barristan, is like, not doing too well, and he's like, well, we should have a fair trial, and like nobody agrees with that. And of course Hisdar and Mossadar like not clicking either.
What'd you think of Barry and Daenerys's like exchange
I love that end. Oh, at the end.
Well, like, sort of him like pulling back the curtain a little bit on the Mad King.
I wish he had done this months ago. This seemed important.
Yeah, especially because you find out that she doesn't know as much as I thought she did, or didn't believe as much as she should have. So I think that is because this, definitely felt like this is the first time she was actually hearing this. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, because now that Jorah's gone, this is a whole different dynamic. And it's very weird. And I don't know if I miss Jorah, but it's just gotten odd. And I think it was important that he said that. And I like that I think it was interesting. She's like, well, I'm not my father. And it's like, he's like, yeah, that's great that you aren't. But like, don't turn into that. Like, there's a reason I'm telling you this, not like, you're just like your dad, da 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 da. It's like, no, I'm telling you this for a reason, child. Like, educate yourself.
Oh, he says, like, the Mad King gave his enemies the justice he thought they deserved. And I'm like, didn't Daenerys say, like, literally the exact same thing a season ago? Like, she said the same kind of, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, justice is what justice is. Like, this is just kind of, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And then Barristan's like, actually, hey, maybe don't do that. I'm like, why didn't we have this conversation when you first got here?
Yeah, I think potentially he's also aware that if he had said that sooner, he could have put himself in danger. You know, like, I think, like, if he comes out, like, swinging with that, she's never going to listen to him. You know, like, she's just straight up, you know, so maybe that's a good point. Reason. You know, just like it, keeping his own head, you know, out of a dragon's mouth. You know, I think maybe it's just a little self-preservation.
Yeah, no, that does make sense.
And I don't think he would have gotten any words in like that when Jorah was there either.
Yep.
So I think it's interesting that he's saying this and like dropping some truth bombs when like her obsessive follower is no longer around.
It's nice to see someone talk to her and not hit on her.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it's refreshing.
Nice to be taken seriously in a workplace.
Okay.
I mean,
I mean, the words she said were true. I mean, it is. She's working. It is a place. And she's being taken seriously because no one else wants to die.
It is a place.
Yes. And what he says, like, strikes a chord, because then she agrees, okay, well, I'll do a fair trial then. And it's like, well, that's all he wanted. So things look like they're going up right now.
Yeah.
So then we cut to, like, the road to Meereen, basically, and we're, like, in this really nice traveling box, which, like, it's really nice in there.
It's spacious.
Right?
And it's got nice shit in there, like, it's cushions, and I'm like, this is how you travel, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
I want that. It's travel. Great.
Right? It's like a mini RV. Tyrion's, like, still drinking and being mopey, and I'm like, I can't with you right now, because he wants to, like, go take a walk, and Varys is like, Cersei's offering lordship to whoever brings her your head. And Varys is so over Tyrion's shit. Like, just done.
You have no sympathy for your man this episode.
No, I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
He needs to pull himself together.
That's why we only spend like 2 minutes of the whole episode with him, because he's so mopey.
Because it'd be exhausting.
It was just so, like, they're still on their way. He's still mopey. Okay, let's go. Let's transition out of here.
Yeah,
because I'm on Varys' side, because he starts, like, complimenting Tyrion, like, oh, you did so great. Like, remember, you were so awesome at your job. And Tyrion's, like, trying to bring him down. And and then Tyrion brings up Shay, like, she wanted me to go with her. And Varys is like, well, why didn't you? And Tyrion's like, oh, I like the power. I'm like, well, no shit you did. Like, come on, man. There's a reason that you felt like, and like, this was bringing up the feelings that I remember I was having at the time. Like, he's so good at this. He needs to stay in King's Landing. He's getting shit done. Things are happening. He's supposed to be there. Like, it all made sense. So, I mean, I guess he's allowed to mope, but it's just really frustrating to see when he's just been such a great character. But he's allowed to have downs as well as ups. So, like, I'm trying to get over that. But, man, he's just grating on me when I'm like, this is all I see of you. You're just being sad and drinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah, they're on their way to eventually go see Daenerys. And... oh, but then we, because he,
it's so good. I think,
yeah, he, didn't he say he, like, wants to go back, or Tyrion wanted to go for a walk, like, insists. And
yeah.
He's like, well, how many, didn't he say, like, how many dwarves are there out there, whatever? And we cut to just.
She can't kill every dwarf in the world. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yes. And
I said,
so,
yeah, like, bitch, she can.
This was the best amazing transition.
It's good. Very good. It's well done. Bravo, editors.
Yes, good job. Because two men have brought the head of another dwarf. And Cersei's like, not him. And so...
And Qyburn says, you gonna finish that?
Oh my god. Oh my god. I had so many exclamation points. I was like, he wants the head. He wants the head. Like, what? But then I think it was interesting that Cersei, because Ser Meron was like, do we kill these guys? And she's like, no, we don't want to dissuade others from bringing in heads. So, like, they're fine. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We're going to leave. And I was like, what the fuck? So weird.
How much time have you spent with Qyburn so far?
So he helped Jaime with his hand. He was with, we don't know where he is in the process of fixing the mountain right now.
Okay. So, you know, he's into some weird.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
He's already like, he has had very little screen time for the amount of weird shit he's done. Like it's, yeah. He is made up for whatever lost time. He's like, can I have that decapitated head? And they're like, I sure, mm-hmm. absolutely, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the last time, I think it was in the finale where he's trying to fix the mountain and the whole, it won't make him weaker, but it will change him. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay. Like, we got some weird experiments going on the mountain ahead now. We're just doing shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this, again, a guy I did not pay attention to at first, and he kept popping up, and I'm like, oh no, you're okay.
This is I love not when great. Those ones just won't go away. You're just like, oh man, this not. Guy again, what's your deal?
I mean, my favorite is Lancel.
Lancel.
What?
Yeah.
Lancel. Oh no. We don't even see him this time.
Well, you want to talk about names, we got a great one coming up.
We do?
Her uncle.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh my god. So we go to a council meeting. New council, mm-hmm. new meeting. No hand, whatever. This is like
so
new council,
tiny. New me.
Yeah. So we've got Pycelle, we've got Tyrell, and who I assumed was the uncle, and it was. So yes. And then Cersei walks in with Qyburn, and Pycelle is pissed. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm,
fuck this guy. I noticed everyone was wearing black, so because we don't know time has elapsed or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Cersei's like, yeah, I'm in charge. I'm gonna advise my son until he's old enough and blah blah blah. And there's gonna be no hand of the king, apparently. Like, that's not what we're doing anymore. And mm-hmm. Tyrell's like, oh, I'll help. And like, this fucking brown noser. Like, she's like, oh, he spoke so highly of you, and now you're the master of coin. And he is beaming.
He just puffs himself up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just. He's so easily like assuaged. It's like, no, don't worry about it. He's like, oh, I got a treat.
Yeah. Like, I got.
He's so proud of himself.
Honestly, we know it's the worst job because Tyrion, like, was killing himself over being master of coin, and I'm like, this
yeah,
is, you're not gonna enjoy this. You're not.
For this family that is so in debt that they can't even like count how much money they owe, like, yeah, good fucking luck, my guy.
Especially with Tywin gone. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, so Cersei's just holding court. Qyburn is now the new master of whispers, which interesting, but you know, creepy guy, master of whispers. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lord Kevin is
spelled
with an A.
Spelled K-E-V-A-N. And I was like, I saw the subtitle before I heard it, and I was like, don't you fucking dare say Kevin. Don't you fucking dare. And then she says, yes, Lord Kevin. And I was like, God damn it. I'm so tired of the normal names with a different vowel thrown in. Like, just spell the name.
You're tired. Okay. Just the fact that it's Lord. Like, John is fine. Kevin? No. No. I can't.
Would you rather it be unpronounceable, or would you rather it be spelled Kevin with an I? Because there's no in between. It's either a normal name spelled slightly differently, or you can't pronounce it when you first see, or spell it. Because I can't spell Daenerys to this day.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's just the way it sounds. I think if I was just reading it, I don't know if it would make me so angry. Like, because K-E-V-A-N spelled out looks like a name that should be in there. But when you say it out loud and it's Kevin, you're like, I think of some white guy in an office that's just named. Yeah. Like, I no. So, but don't worry, because Lord Kevin is not putting up with anyone's shit.
Now he's out.
Cersei's like, oh, you're the master of war now. And he's like, well, shouldn't the king be here asking me? And where the hell is Jaime and all this shit?
And she goes, no. Like,
yeah, basically, like, you don't need to know. This is a need to know basis. And he just says, I don't recognize your power. You have none. And I'm going back home to Casterly Rock, which, interesting. Because did anyone know anyone was, I didn't know anyone was at Casterly Rock. I don't know why, I just kind of thought it was empty because they always talk about who's going to get it.
No, the way Tywin always talked about it, it truly sounded like it was just like uninhabited, basically.
Yeah, like it's just this empty house that someone's going to get when they're older. It's like, oh, people are living there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like another Dorne. Like, it's the Lannisters, like, home base. So, like, all the uncles and cousins and unimportant Lannisters are hanging out there while the important Lannisters are trying to get more than Casterly Rock, right? They're trying to get King's Landing and all of the kingdoms, right? So I think that's where it is. And as far as Kevin goes, like, I appreciate him, like, I appreciate him, like, standing up to Cersei and saying, like, I don't recognize your power, but, like, he's not going to get jack shit done in Casterly Rock. Like, he needs to stay in King's Landing if he's actually going to make a difference, you know? And so, like, it's just, it's such, like, it's a cop-out move, right? Like, it's like, I'm doing the right thing in the wrong way. At least that's how I felt about this particular move, because it just reduces the size of the council even more, consolidating the power even further to fewer amounts of people, and now it's between two maesters, one who got kicked out of the Citadel and one who is a certified creep, and then there's the brown noser. So, like, this is not a good situation. So, like, he needed to stay to have one person who's sane, and he just decided it's easier to nope out of there.
I think I think you're definitely right. Like, he was the only one who was actually going to, like, provide some counterpoint. But I feel like at the same time, like, I don't know what he even could have done. Like, at that point, like, you've got, you know, like you said, the other three on the council who are just like, whatever Cersei says, it's like, oh, absolutely, that's totally fine. Like, he's going to get outvoted every time he tries to make a difference anyways. Like, it's not that leaving and going back to Casterly Rock is the right move, but it's like, it's really hard to figure out what the right move for him is, because having zero support and trying to just sitting there watching it all crumble and Cersei taking charge, I could imagine would be probably just as bad.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it comes the difference between Kevin and a Tywin, right? You know, between the secondary and tertiary players of the game versus the primary players, the main cast, right? You know, because, like, a Tywin stays and figures it out and, like, gets the drop on Cersei. You know, could you imagine if Cersei wasn't Tywin's daughter, Tywin would have destroyed her. You know, like, he would have figured out all her dirtiest secrets. But instead, he's probably working in the background protecting her because she's his daughter. You know, I think, like, Tywin's a good example of, like, someone who could have been the master of war, who could have, you know, like, really, like, made a difference. Now, he would have been an asshole about it. You know, I'm not saying, like, he would have been good, but, you know, I don't think Kevin would be either. He's still a Lannister. You know, like, they're still, you know, generally not great people. But yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, sort of the differences between, you know, the, you know, your main characters versus your side characters, and kind of what they're capable of too.
I think it's also really hard because they're putting this man that we met an episode ago, we're supposed to, like, be really invested in him and not necessarily know things, but this is really the biggest scene he's had, biggest anything that he's done so far. And you're like, okay, it's hard to know what to think about him besides he stood up to Cersei and left. So for me, it was more like I didn't even think about the consequences of his action. It was more just like, okay, this is happening right now. And yeah, about leaving the council, he says, well, I'm not going to sit here and watch you put, what is it, like sycophants on the council and this and this and this. But it's like, yeah, the only way you're really going to make a difference is if you stay. So
yeah, I think from a show perspective, it makes sense to like get rid of this guy, right? You know, like to like move, to get him out of the way, like anywhere that they can streamline things, they should, you know? So like, I think from a show perspective, it does make sense. But from a Kevin perspective, which I think we've officially crossed the threshold for the podcast that's talked the most about Kevin Lannister.
Can you call this the Kevin perspective?
Yes.
Is that the episode title?
It can be a subtitle.
Please. Please do.
I'll put it in the notes. They discuss
the Kevin perspective. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Okay.
I'll put that in there, sure.
Yeah.
For posterity.
This very important conversation we were having.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't, but we don't actually see him leave. And I know Game of Thrones, so like, who knows if he's actually left. You know,
either he's back next episode or we never see him again. There is no in between.
Well, it's not we never see him again because he has a name now.
Oh, that's
so
true.
He will show up again at some point, just either like to die or to not die. So, you know,
those are generally the two options. Like,
you know, it just feels really extreme in the show to die. But good point. So then we go to the wall and, okay, they faked me out. Because I was like, oh, it's Shireen and Davos reading again. Yay. And I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We got Shireen and Gilly. And I was like, oh, I like this a lot. Like, this is really nice.
I know. Shireen's so sweet.
She's so great. I love her development of her, too. Because they're in the library and Shireen is teaching Gilly. But there seems to be some sort of tension between Sam and Gilly. And I was like, what is this about?
Like, because Sam was a former gifted child and he's like, what, like it's hard? And basically just is not patient with her trying to teach her things.
Okay, so he's just impatient. Because I was like, why was he pushing so hard to have her read in the first place? Like that, it just felt like there was a conversation that we didn't see between them.
It seems like, it's definitely a conversation we didn't see. It seems like kind of, not a class thing exactly, but he's like, well, you should know how to read. Reading's important. Yeah, it is basically a class thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, Sam with the best intentions, but going like, come on, it's not that hard. And it's like, you grew up knowing how to, like, learning this so early. Like, lay off, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although Gilly's like, we're doing fine. Like, keep your nose out of our business. Like, I am learning shit, so get away.
I love that line where he turns around. He's like, did you know? And talks about whatever. And she goes, I know S.
I know.
She's so cute.
That was so sweet.
I love it.
It was very cute. So then Shireen talks about her grayscale because Gilly asks about it. But then we get this horrifying story that Gilly talks about her two sisters having it, which, I mean, this is the most we've ever talked about it and how it works and everything. And they, I mean, it's ensued that, or it's insinuated that they died, but apparently, like, Shireen isn't even supposed to be alive, and she doesn't know how it was cured because Gilly's sisters that had it were, like, kept away and basically turned into animals. But that's where the story ends. I'm like, what? Okay. Like, I did not think this was as serious as it actually was. So, like, I just thought it was, like, something she had and she's fine, but I didn't realize that other people that had it got worse, you know?
Did it seem like grayscale itself was just more of, like, a cosmetic, like, thing?
Yes.
Or, okay. And, oh, and just, not like what they explained, which is, like, a symptom of, like, another thing.
Or, yeah, I mean, to put it, like, blandly, not like a rash or like eczema, but I just thought it was like a physical thing. Like, this is how you look. Not like it changes you as a person and as a being and affects you in other ways like that. Yeah, I did not like where that conversation turned.
Yeah, no, it took a turn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
but we don't even get that much information because it's not medically explained. It's just from someone else's perspective who didn't mm-hmm. see them until the very end when they were just covered in it and yeah. were taken away from the house. So that's where that ends, because Selyse approaches and tells Sam and Gilly to go away and reprimands Shireen for talking to Gilly. Because, mm-hmm. man, I hate this woman. Like,
she's so bad.
She's mm-hmm. the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, there's literally nothing else to say. Like, she's just the worst. Like, I'm sure, like, everybody's got trauma, but, like, come on. Like, just don't be. Your daughter's so nice.
She's continuously the worst to everyone. Like, she was weird to Melisandre. She's weird to her husband. She's weird to her daughter. Like, just out to be weird to everyone. I'm like, don't. Just calm down.
I mean, the whole Melisandre thing, like, they're both weird. But it's more that she just, like, doesn't seem like a nice person. Yeah, and you're right, Jay. Like, her daughter is so nice. Maybe it's because she didn't raise her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just, she was so close-minded because all she said about Gilly is she's a wildling. Like, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. that's the end of the discussion. And Shireen keeps saying, well, she's so nice and this and that, like all these good things. And she's like, well, she's a wildling. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. What did she say? Like, your father, like killed their king and like, conquered these people. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like,
yeah, right, she says, you have no idea what people will do.
Mm-hmm. What is that? Like, lady, you're the one who kept your sons in jars. Like,
No. Which, like, I understand the, like, precautionariness of, like, the Game of Thrones universe. Like, I get that part. But also, like, if you just see past the fact that she came from the other side of the wall, she's just another person that only sees like Tyrion said earlier in the episode, like, every shit on the side of the road has a banner from it. Like, everybody rules something, you know, like, everybody belongs to a kingdom. They have an agenda. Gilly doesn't have an agenda. Her agenda is Sam and little Sam, you know, like, that's it. And if she talked to her, she would know that. But
yeah. But someone who has an agenda, especially as, like, aggressive as Selyse is, like, it's impossible to imagine someone not having an agenda. It's like, well, what's your deal? It's like, I don't have a deal. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just a nice person. Yeah. So then we cut to Stannis, who's pissed at Jon, which, fair. You know, Jon kind of did undercut his whole murder. And so Jon says, well, to be fair, you know, the wildlings, and he starts calling them the free folk now, which I'm like, you're changing the narrative with this. You're not calling them the wildlings anymore. Okay.
He's choosing a side.
So Jon says they'd only follow a person of their own, which kind of seemed like foreshadowy, but also like fact. So I wasn't really sure. But that's his reasoning, like, and not like, I got emotional for a second and killed him, you know, to put him out of his misery.
It's I'm,
like,
not being a dick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's like, well, to be fair, it wouldn't have worked anyway. It's like, it's like, said, what did he say? Like, you'll always be the one that, you know, killed their king, which, I mean, that's true. So Stannis pivots and says, oh, do you know about this woman who was the Lord Commander's niece, Lyanna? Uh-huh. I'm like, another name on Bear Island, which, where the fuck is that? Ooh. And she's 10. And I'm like, why are we talking about this? But don't worry, because apparently the entirety of Bear Island only recognizes the King of the North, and his name is Stark. And I'm like, what is happening?
The Northerners are spicy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew that with all the stuff with Rob and everything, but, like, I guess I haven't had to think about the Northern people for a while, but John thinks it's funny, and he's like, oh, well, the Northerners are like the free folk. They stick to what they know. So, like, Davos and Stannis are kind of not bullying, but they're, like, doing this thing where, like, one of them's like, oh, the election tonight. No, they are. Tonight.
You're right.
Kind of felt like that.
They're, like, hazing him.
Yeah, they're, like, ganging up on him. And so Stannis just literally offers to make John a Stark if John pledges that Stannis is the king. And he says, I'll make you the Lord of Winterfell. The end. And it's like,
he offers him a promotion.
I mean, it's insane, though, because, and also, do they think that all the Stark men are dead? Is that what John thinks? Does John know that they're, no, John knows they're still alive because Sam saw them. Bran?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, okay, John's older, so I guess it would be, whatever. It just felt weird because it's like you're just erasing all the other Starks and being like, well, you can be one and you can be in charge.
I mean, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think Stannis gives a shit. I think Stannis is ready to, like, you know, Stannis is a lot like Roos Bolton in that he's going to, like, muscle his way into, like, I'm going to promote who I need to. I'm going to put people where I need them to be to advance my own agenda in this case.
Yeah, he'll worry about making it official once he's sitting on the throne, right? You know, like, because I think at this point, I don't think he actually has the authority to do that. But, you know, like, as long as John believes it, that's all that he cares about, because he just wants John and he wants the people that follow John on his side. You know, that's, like, I mean, it's why he went there in the first place, if I'm remembering that correctly. I don't remember what actually brought him up there.
What are they called? The White Walkers? Thank you. I was going to say the white people, and that just felt weird. So,
understandable.
That felt wrong, because I didn't think that. Yes, because somebody sent out all the ravens about the White Walkers, and Melisandre is like, we should go do something about that, but they ended up stopping the wildlings instead.
Sure.
Because they were going towards, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Can Stannis actually do anything? We don't know, but he says he can, and he's convincing because they're bullying a 16-year-old.
You got to get them when they're young, when they're nice and impressionable, you know?
Yeah, although, I mean, it's got to be hard to find a good notary up there, you know? Like, we just don't know what's true. Like,
we got 2.5 people who can write, so, I mean.
I mean, Sam could totally be one.
Sam,
like, he's
100%.
Just, he's absolutely, you're right.
Sam has, like, notary public servant vibes.
Wow, I am a notary.
I say that with all respect.
Do you? So, yeah, so then, like, John doesn't say anything. So we cut to John talking to Sam, and Sam's like so excited for John, and he's like, oh my God. And John's like, it's the only thing I ever wanted.
John really wants it. Yeah.
I mean, in his very low emotion way, he's like, it's the only thing I've ever wanted. But he's like, but I'm going to say no. And Sam's like, what?
Yeah.
And John's like, oh, because my vows. And I'm like, everyone knows you broke your vows. Like, everyone knows that. Be chill. So, but they're talking, like, it's literally right before the election. And I don't know why it felt so important to write this, but they're electing the 998th Lord Commander. And I was like,
I wrote that too. It was an insane number.
It just felt intense.
It felt like one of those numbers that, like, you would throw out in a fantasy thing where it's like, it couldn't be the 1,000th. That would be, like, too convenient, but it's up there.
Yeah, it needed to be a really big number, but not 1,000. It couldn't have that much ceremony surrounding it, which, like, I appreciated such a big number, like, indicating that, like, 1,000 people have gone through this role, 1,000 lifetimes have passed. It's like, that adds quite a bit of scale to this, which I did appreciate it for that fact.
Yeah.
Although, is it like, you know, how long are these people living when they're Lord Commander?
True. It could,
you know,
be like
a couple presidents and whatnot.
A couple days for this guy, 20 years for that guy, you know, yeah. Okay.
Right. But no, that's a very good point. Like that, yeah, it just speaks to the enormity of the world and the quote importance of the wall and what they've actually done for the world, the land, the whatever, the realm. There we go. Yes.
The realm. Yes.
Yeah, that's the right word for that. So apparently the men being voted for can't speak on their own behalf, but someone can speak for them. Quote. So this fucker, Brother Slint, talks all about Alistair. And I was like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. And then some other guy brings up some old guy named, is it something? I wrote it down. Dennis?
It's Malister. Yeah, I think it is Dennis. Yeah, because they, I think they talked about him briefly in, it was one of those last episodes where I think it was episode 10 where
the finale.
When Sam is talking to Gilly and he's like, oh, you know, I've heard good things about this other guy. Like, he's supposed to be really nice. And,
okay.
But it also made it sound like there were like more people who were going to like get nominated. Like, it just it seems very small. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, there aren't that many people left, honestly.
That's true. Also, Malister is ancient. He is.
Oh, yeah. He's my an God. Old man.
Yeah.
And they said he's been there for 10 winters, which if I know anything about winters, which I don't, they seem to be quite long. Yeah, besides that. So they don't happen too often and they're long. So he's hella old. But he was like all for it. Like, yeah, people vote for me. So like Sam's looking around all shifty and they literally are about to start voting. And Sam's like, wait.
Did you know that was going to happen?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Just as soon as they cut to Sam and he was looking around, I'm like, he's going to fucking say something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it was interesting that as soon as Sam starts to speak, Slint starts talking shit and Sam takes him down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so satisfying.
It's so good. He's so savage. It's great.
That was so great. Like, I did not expect that from Sam. And I was like, this was buck wild.
It was great.
It was everything that we were saying during that episode. Like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, I thought he was, so that was fucking awesome. And then Sam, after taking this man down a peg or two, speaks for John's behalf. And John's not loving it. Sam said he's, you know, the commander we turn to when the night was darkest. And I was like, that's good. But then at the end, Alistair decides that he's allowed to speak, even though I'm pretty sure that the maester said the people that are being voted speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like,
that's a really good point.
He gets the last word, talks shit about John and where his loyalty lies. And then it's time to vote suddenly. And I'm like, what? John just doesn't get to talk? Right? So the voting takes place and they count them in front of everyone, apparently, because that's what you do. And originally, there's a fucking tie. But wait, there's not. One tile was miscounted and John fucking wins.
Oh, no, it was that. It's that Master Aemon finally casts his vote. Like, he hasn't voted yet. That's his that's his vote.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I misread that. Okay. That's interesting. All right.
Were you surprised?
I mean, now I am because, I didn't think about that. I just thought like someone put the wrong tile on and he like found it and was like, no, this is wrong. And like moved it over to the other. Like, I don't know why.
Oh, I see.
I thought it was a miscount. So that's cool. So like even John seems a little happy and I'm like, oh my God, he smiled. Like, so I mean, not entirely shocked that it happened. Like, let's be real. Uh-huh. This was all kind of leading up to that. Yeah, so we'll see what happens to John. Then we go back to Braavos. And Arya's just doing her thing and killing birds. And,
as you do.
I mean, I feel like...
when she sliced up the pigeon...
That was intense.
I was like, I didn't remember that at all. I was like, oh crap. Yeah.
I kind of thought she was gonna miss, honestly. Like, I did not expect it to be like that. Like, it was a lot. And she just like casually picks it up, like, this is mine. Yep. We're going. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that it's a pigeon. And so but I guess they eat pigeons in this one. Like, it's not like a weird bird to eat here, I guess. So that.
Well, they eat pigeon pie in the capital.
Yeah. All right.
There you go. The connections.
Hey. So she's like, oh yeah, I know things. So she's going along her merry way and gets stopped by three men. And so she's just fucking ready to go.
I thought she was going to fuck these guys up.
Yeah, me too.
I was ready for the fight. I was like, okay, we're going to get something happening here. And so the prior man, cloaked man, just appears behind her and they run away. So like they know something that she doesn't. Mm-hmm. But then I thought he was just like leaving. But then they cut to them like both going to the black and white house place. And I was like, oh, okay. So because I thought he was just like going to appear and then disappear. But he didn't
bounce.
Yeah, kind of. And then I was like, oh, yeah. God, we're dragging this out. Like, she's going to have to, like, follow him again and find him again or something. But no. Okay, we cut to the chase and surprise, it's Jack and Hagar. But
oh, my God.
Did his voice change?
I don't know.
I feel like he had more of an accent.
He didn't sound as I expected him to. Right? Yeah, I did notice that too when he showed up. He sounded just a little bit off from what I expected him to sound like. Which,
yeah,
my guess is it's just the actor like having not played the role for two seasons.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like the face reveal was
face like I knew, off.
Yeah. what? I don't remember what I thought of this the first time this happened, so I'm really curious to see what your reaction.
Yeah.
Was. I think it was interesting the way that they did it, like the effects and things, like that was cool. But just the fact that that's the only person that opened the door and like was really weird, like I wasn't entirely shocked that it was him, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. It was just like, that makes sense. Because I feel like they really built up his appearance and the fact that he can change his face and everything. And so I was like, oh, cool, it's him and he's back and that's it. But I feel like it was supposed to be a bigger moment than it was. But they were kind of leading up to like, he's going to appear. So it's like, well, why wouldn't he be the man that opened the door to this house that the coin led her to and everything? It just seemed to like fall into place and make sense. I think it was more, I mean, obviously because you didn't know when he originally changed his face, but I feel like it was more dramatic when the person looked more like him that he changed into. I think since the change was so drastic in his appearance, mm-hmm. it was a different skin tone, a different age and everything, that it wasn't as impactful. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, because like, seeing it this time, I was like the literal just like peeling of the face I thought was kind of goofy. Like I don't know what it was about. It just didn't feel very
yeah.
Mission magical. Impossible.
Yeah.
Oh my exactly. God, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It is very Mission Impossible.
You know, like very like a sci-fi like, you know, mm-hmm. like in Black Widow they do the same thing where they pull off magic face changer and stuff. So like mm-hmm. that's what it looked like to me. It just feels in this world of like dragons and like other mysterious like ice magic, and then you have Melisandre, she's doing her thing, and then to have like, oh, and there's face changing magic, like it feels out of place. But yeah, I was curious to see what your thoughts were. Yeah,
I think I liked not necessarily the pulling of the face, but the fact that the camera switched from Arya's left side to right. Like I like the camera mm-hmm. change when he did mm-hmm. that. So like,
yeah,
but yeah, I think it might've been more, but I feel like they kind of did the same thing when he changed his face last time. It wasn't like a, literally you watch their like body horror, his face changes kind of, you know,
like Animorphs.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not full Animorph behavior. Yeah.
No, which is great. But yeah, I didn't think until you said something about now I'm thinking Mission Impossible. That's going to bother me now. but yeah, I think it was more like it was supposed to be a big surprise. But if you're watching the show critically, okay, maybe people don't watch it so critically, but it just made sense. Like, oh, it's him. Okay, cool.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very much like if you're paying attention at all, it's like, this is probably the guy. And then it's yeah. like, all right, it's the guy. Cool.
And I guess they're throwing you off because it's like, well, she says, well, I asked for your name. And he's like, that's not who I am anymore. Ooh.
I wrote, okay, whatever.
Yeah, kind of. I forgot he talked like that too. And I was like, no.
I was asking, I was like, has he always talked like this? Yes. Like, I thought he had, yes. But I was just like, I don't know if it's just like exhausting this time or what. I don't know.
It was exhausting last time.
The first time too? Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
It was also exhausting because I guess this has happened to me throughout the whole series. He was a guy that I kept not remembering his name because I didn't think he was important. Because, I mean, to be fair, he showed up and then he disappeared and then he showed up again. But
that is true. It's kind of what he does.
Yeah. So he's like all, I forgot how cryptic he is. So yeah, this is going to get annoying. But he says he's no one and that's who she needs to become. And he opens the door and she mm-hmm. goes in, which, I mean, I'm a little intrigued. So let's be real. Like, yeah. This is, what the fuck is this place? This is when I was like, oh, okay, this big building that's very cool looking. And like, it's the mystery of it's the House of Black and White. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And so this is when I was like, I'm in. Like, I'm intrigued. I want to see what the fuck's going on here and why the man that can change his face like lives here.
Yeah. I did write down that she went in through the black door. I don't know if that's symbolic or not. I'm at the point where I'm just taking notes and I'm like, is this going to be symbolic in 4 episodes? Who knows? Maybe not the writers. We'll find out.
Ooh.
Little
the writers.
Who knows? Well, this is when they're like off of the source material. So they're just.
Oh, is it this point? I don't know why I thought it was later.
I thought so. I thought it was this point.
I don't know. I feel like people's like 5 or 6. I feel like it was more like 6 to 8. Instead of
was it 6?
Yeah, because I feel like I 5 was like people were like 4 and 5 are dope, and I was like, all right, but
maybe I'm wrong.
I think so. No, I'm not sure.
I can be wrong. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Uh huh. So then we go to our final place, which we go to Marine, and we got Masador in front of a cell, and I realized like. I did not know what was happening. I didn't know we were going with this. And so he goes to the man that's imprisoned for the harpy dude.
So he's awaiting his trial comfortably.
Yeah, which fair. And then the guy says, well, Daenerys doesn't belong here. So he's just killed and left in the street with a message saying, kill the masters. And I said, well, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised. So
yeah,
Daenerys is back in court, basically, and she is pissed because she says, like, this was not your right to do it. But he clearly thinks he did the right thing because he says,
yeah.
Your hands were tied. I did the thing you wanted. And she didn't have the other conversation with him because she didn't need to because she's in charge. But he just fully thinks he's right. And this is when they bring up, I was the first to join the Unsullied. Maybe we're supposed to recognize him. His father died fighting. And I thought for a second, like, he was working his way on her. But then she says, no, like, that's not okay. And has him taken away. So
real quick. So
yeah.
With this, like, it's truly, you're right. Like, he does think, he thinks he's crushing it. Like, he's on his own full revenge mission. But, like, mm-hmm. She says, oh, yeah, you know, like, before it was, like, you know, the master's word was law. And then he's like, no, now you are the law. She's like, the law is the law. Like, it's not up to just what I want to do. Like, there is a process to things. There is, like, an order. Like, there's a process we have to go through in order to have this be fair. Mm-hmm. And Masador is just like, nah, like, we need to just turn this around. This is not how this needs to go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, born into slavery, of course he doesn't trust the system. Like, you know, like, he has, you know, granted, I'll give him every right to be angry and to, like, you know, want to take this course of action. And, you know, he probably does know the people better than Daenerys. He's like, blood will be the only thing that they listen to.
Yeah.
Which she ends up following through with that, you know, like, you know, she like does sort of listen to him in the end. You know, I don't know if like the show in front of everybody is supposed to constitute as his trial, you know, like, you know, or what that's supposed to like represent. But obviously she did not convince the people that this was the right decision based on how everything played out.
Oh my gosh. No, because Yeah, you're right. You're right. He has every reason to feel the way that he does. And it's just from our own perspective that I feel like he was so extremist and, but you're right. Like it makes sense in his mind and only from not being in that perspective, you're like, well, how could he think that was okay? Like, why did you like, but it was really a horrible turn of events. Because they, we're not sure if that was technically the trial however that worked, but that he's taken away. And then we cut to them leaving whatever pyramid palace and everyone's gathering and, nobody looks happy. Cause I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. So everyone's calling out Misa was just, it felt uncomfortable. And like, it's just, it was this weird, like tension. And I know I've brought this up before, but like, you know, where you just like feel it in the air right before like a fight breaks out or something. And you can just tell like how uncomfortable, like, and then it just happens and you're like, I knew this was happening in like a subconscious level. It kind of felt that way where I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where we're going with it, but something's wrong.
Oh yeah. Like the music was tense. Like just that.
Yeah. Maybe it was partially the music. Yeah.
Yeah. The music was tense, but also like the camera angles, like there was no one like on the same level as her. It was like looking down at people or the people like looking up at her. Like it was very just like, it just played into that weird like power imbalance where it's like, whatever happens here is not going to be good. Not right. Everyone's going to be happy with whatever the fuck happens right now.
Yeah, so Mossador is brought forth and Daenerys says, you know, what he did, the punishment is death, and all the former slaves, because you can tell because they're divided and everything and what they're wearing and whatnot, because it's still a caste system. They're all calling for mercy. And at this point, I'm like, where does Barristan stand in all this? Like, why did we skip over all of this? Like, he says nothing at this point, but I guess because he got a trial, it just felt weird that nobody's trying to dissuade her because Daario is apparently her executioner, which did he volunteer for that? And Danny's like looking around at everyone and just tells him to do it. And so he kills the guy and all the slaves start hissing, which felt like, is that something we're supposed to understand?
I think it's just supposed to be like, I think it's supposed to be exactly what it looks like okay. Just extreme, like, you know, you fucked up.
Not happy with the outcome of this. You know, it's just, and it's a very easy way for you as a viewer to be like, they're not happy. You know, like, hissing is inherently like not a good reaction. You know, like, you don't want somebody to hiss at you.
Yeah. We got a lot of snake imagery in this in this episode.
I was just thinking that, So then all of a sudden, one of them throws a rock at like the former master side, and fights break out everywhere. And the council or whatever, they run away, but they're protected and just very reminiscent of that time when Joffrey is out in King's Landing and the fight breaks out and the Hound had to get him into, like, that was very similar, but Daenerys had better guards, I guess.
Yeah.
The Unsullied don't mess around. I'll give
no,
you that.
No, those great shields. Like that was pretty dope. So then we cut to night.
They're hiding in that pyramid after she said there were no slaves or masters. She's going to go ahead and hide up there.
They're all in like her room and they're all saying like, oh, you know, you'll be guarded tonight. But she wants to be alone, like doesn't want to see anyone. And does she hear it? She hears a noise and looks for it. This was confusing to me because she's like looking for a noise that I wasn't even sure I heard. But I feel like the subtitle said a noise.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I actually heard a noise at first either.
Yeah.
So yeah.
She's just looking around and Drogon's back and just chilling. And she is so happy to see him. Like just ecstatic and like everything is right in the world. And he seems chill and she's like trying to touch him. But then he's like,
I love this like taming a wild horse Black Beauty moment where she's like, it's okay. I'm the only one who understands you.
I just thought like this could end so many, like so many things could happen. And I didn't know which, but he just like leaves and is like, nope, nope's the fuck away. Like, don't touch me. And then she just looks
worried again,
distraught. And I was like,
yeah,
what a way to end. Like, I don't understand. But he doesn't like completely fly. They just cut to him like flying over the city. Mm-hmm. So
he's just scoping it out.
Yeah. Just but had to say hi to mom for a second. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You miss me? Come back.
Yeah.
Just weird.
It was an interesting note to leave off on. Like, I did think that like the fact that it was like not just her like seeing him again, but then him going like, yeah, I'm around, but I really don't give a fuck, and like flying over the city and the music getting a little tense again. I'm like, oh, that's a choice.
Yeah, because I thought at least they could have ended, this is Game of Thrones, didn't have to, could have ended on a high note of like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for her. Her favorite child is back, and he like accepts her as his mom still or something. Right. But she's like, I'm here, but I'm not. Like, I'm one foot in, one foot out kind of thing.
Well, right, it's also kind of what happened with all of her other quote unquote children, like all of the folks that all of the former slaves that she had freed, like kind of turning on her. It's just like, hey, where are your loyalties now? Like, who's still supporting you? Who doesn't work for you?
Mm-hmm. Nobody. Yeah. Like, she's just her trajectory is confusing and frustrating.
Is it interesting at least? Like, are you enjoying the ride?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Emily.
I'm not with her.
I want to get off. This is a bad ride.
It's not my favorite. I could do without it. But she just seems to go in these weird ups and downs of like, she knows what she's doing when she was like conquering everyone and gathering the giantest army in the world, and then she decides I'm just gonna stay over here and do shit, when really the whole point was to gather these armies and take the kingdom that you think you're supposed to have. Like,
yeah,
so this entire detour of like not Westeros just feels odd.
Yeah,
that's fair. That does make sense.
It's her like kind of going through different ruling phases, you know. It's like this whole all of Essos is just like a practice run essentially for Westeros. And which I can understand, like as you're watching it, like it makes it feel futile almost, because like, you know, as a person who watches TV shows, that like there is a penultimate, like there is an ultimate like goal, and it's like,
yeah,
can we just be there, you know? And so, yeah, I the whole Marine saga or storyline or whatever you want to call it, like I felt it was more interesting, you know, as you get further into it, because of like she has to deal with the politics of it, rather than just like conquering and put, you know, like exuding her power in one way, shape or form or the other, you know? And so like, I do appreciate it for that, but then it makes it the same as everything that's happening on the other continent too. Like, it's more politicking, it's more ruling and maneuvering. And so I can understand how it gets a little exhausting. So
yeah,
I get it.
And I feel like she's just floundering way more than anyone else that's politicking right now, or at all, honestly, because you're right. She's gone through different phases of leadership and stuff, and this just seems to be a low for her. And I'm like, where are we going? Like, how does she get out of this? How does she not fix everything? But she's making a lot of wrong moves right now. And it just seems bad for her. Like, is she just gonna have to leave at some point? Be like, I'm done with you guys. I'm taking my armies and leaving. Like, this is a lost cause for me. This is
far longer than you expected we'd stay in Marine, isn't it?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I'm finally used to seeing them indoors.
Yeah, that was the wildest thing for a while. I was like, you mean the sun's not beating down on her? What's happening? Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of season three, you predicted that she was going to get like to Westeros at the end of season four. Like, oh, you were no. like, all right, let's move it along. Let's hurry up. But she's just been, on her own this whole time. And like, we're in season five. It's wild to think like she's been so isolated. No one else has been this isolated.
Yeah. It's very confusing because again, like, she's the one that one of the ones that A, I know makes it to season eight, but B, so many people were invested in, like, she was the one that I knew about. And I'm like, why? I don't understand.
Yeah. And I've said it enough times, but rewatching this, like, you know, however many years after it aired, it's such an interesting retrospective of like, oh, this was my favorite character. I'm like, ooh, you made an interesting choice here. Were you still my favorite at this point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of stepping back and like seeing it again. Like, it's just not even under a new lens, but just like seeing it again when it wasn't brand new. It's like, oh, yeah, these are not great choices you're making, character.
Mm-hmm. Well, how is, we talked about it at the beginning, Jay, but like, how is at the end of this episode, how was it watching it again? Like, and seeing, cause I don't know if you've ever talked about like who your favorite characters are, or who you really enjoyed watching, or story, like plot lines you liked.
Yeah. I mean, I think the second episode that we did together, like I picked it because I like Jamie quite a bit. I think that his arc is really interesting, and pretty much every adventure that he goes on, which I would say exclusive to the one that he started today, I remember well, and I do enjoy. And specifically him and Brienne were great, you know, and so like that dynamic was fantastic. Yeah. And so like that was good, you know. I mean, Jon, Daenerys, you know, I can leave or take kind of depending on the storyline. For whatever reason, I like whenever Stannis shows up. I don't like Stannis.
Really?
But like Stannis the Manus is so great. I just like, I just, whenever he's just so single minded, but yet, you know, and in his goals, that, and I like him and Davos and just like their whole deal, because you just like forget that they're out there just like getting ready to take over the whole continent at any given moment. And so I like Stannis just because like he's so serious, and I don't know.
Yes.
I like Stannis. Who else showed up this episode that I forgot about?
The rest of the Starks, we got Sansa and Arya.
Yeah, we got Sansa and Arya. I like the Starks. I like Sansa. Arya, I can give or take, kind of depending on where she's at. I liked her a lot more in Westeros than kind of where she's about to go. But yeah, no. It kind of depends on where they're at. But yeah,
in the season. Yeah, I mean, if anyone that's listened to this knows, I have flopped on so many people.
Like, yeah,
just depends on the season. Like, I love this person, I hate this person. So yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I think. Pretty much closing out. Anything, any last questions or anything else we want to cover really in the episode? Okay. I mean, we really talked this out, so
yeah,
I understand. I'm so sorry this took so long, Jay.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So yeah, then I guess we'll wrap it up here. Jay, for anyone that doesn't know who you are, hasn't heard of what you do or how we even met, would you like to talk about what you do?
Sure. I'm the host of Super Bracket Bros and Ultimate Sports Mashup. Ultimate Sports Mashup, me and Cam, we take historical sports teams and pit them against each other. Some of our most recent episodes at the time of this recording, we've been doing a lot of quote-unquote mini episodes, which are about, you know, 20-30 minutes long, where we kind of do like a top five usually of like our favorite things in the sports world. So like we came up for our last episode like top five NBA combinations. So we took historical NBA figures and tried to make the best, like, Frankenstein, essentially. You know, of, you know, what's the craziest combo we can imagine to make the best player possible? And so that one's a little less regular. We're coming out, we're trying to do every 2 to 3 weeks, we're coming out with episodes. But we always have guests on for our main episodes, where we discuss teams and me and Cam do a bit of a debate. Super Bracket Bros, me and Eli doing every 2 weeks. At the time of this release, we'll actually be having Emily on soon, along with Dylan Wren from Your Friendly Neighborhood Gamers to talk about John Wick versus Tali Zora. So that is going to be a fantastic episode, I can assure you. So definitely come over to the feed, check out to see if that episode is out. That's in our second round, which we're making our way through right now. So we're more than halfway through the fourth season, but if you haven't ever checked, I know it's 120, 120-ish episodes, I think.
Chunky, 115, my God.
Something like that. Yeah. So we're churning them out over there. So definitely if you haven't listened to it, find an episode with characters that you do like, and then come hear us vote them off of the tournament inevitably. You know, hopefully you'll be hooked from there. But thank you so much for having me on, Emily and Kate. I really appreciate it. I love hanging out with you, so I'm always up to talk some Game of Thrones. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you for taking the time and waking up early to talk to us on a weekend. I mean, gosh, like we just create problems with time. This is so nice. And thanks for jumping on a random episode that you didn't remember at all. So like, this is all, and we've talked about, you and I have talked about another one this season that you're actually interested in. So we'll talk about that off. I was going to say off camera, off mic.
Off mic. Yeah.
But yes, thank you for doing this. This has been really, really nice to talk to you again. And we skipped the whole season without you, so we can't have that happen again. And so normally Kate and I plug something we've just randomly been enjoying. I don't know if you have anything that you want to plug like that or...
Sure. I think I mentioned earlier, I just finished Obi-Wan. That was a good time. My favorite Star Wars show, I think. Like a TV show, I think.
I can see that.
It's right there with The Mandalorian.
Agreed.
Those two are pretty neck and neck. So I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West finally. That's a good time. PS5 came out in February. Finally picked it up. Got a good old used copy from GameStop. So that's a good time.
Physical used copy from GameStop. Wow, how retro of you.
My God.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I and of course, as soon as I pick it up, it goes on sale on the PlayStation Store. The digital
version. Oh, no.
But it's I really like the first game, so like having a physical copy is nice. Like I do like physical copies of things that I really do enjoy. So and also, this is from a little while ago, but I'll continue to evangelize this movie till the end of my days. If you haven't seen it, go see Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's an incredible movie starring Michelle Yao and directed by the Daniels. No, sorry, Daniels, not the Daniels. We discussed it. Eli corrected me on that earlier, but it's this great multiverse movie that just ties in like really, really important themes about family and love and the meaning of the universe and Everything Everywhere All at Once is an incredible movie. Go buy it.
Have the meaning
Don't
to
go
watch
rent
it.
It.
I
go
really
buy
want
it.
To.
Okay. I'm sure I heard it. You mentioned it on a podcast, but like I didn't know about that. I will check that out for sure.
Definitely.
Cool.
Please do.
Yeah.
Kate, do you have something this week? It's been a few
I do.
Times.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like I said, a lot of times like Mark will turn something on and either I think I'll care about it and I don't end up caring about it, or he'll turn it on. And then I'm like, wait, what's happening? He started watching the new Resident Evil series that is on Netflix. It's so good. it is very, very good. It is well produced. It's very timely. I don't know much about the Resident Evil universe, but I do know a lot about zombie media and movies and stuff. And it's apparently a real, like, because basically whenever someone was like, oh yeah, it's this guy. And I would look at Mark and I'm like, who's that? And he would tell me, thankfully. So I had an encyclopedia through it, but it's really good. And it's like, I really, my sort of academic nerd self just wants to like, I wanted to start to like look at zombie media in like sort of a post-COVID like lens and see like, hey, the way we talk about pandemics and, you know, infection and stuff now, has that changed at all? Do these things age well? And it's a really good, timely sort of epidemic series. It's like, God, I want to say it's 8 episodes. It's on Netflix. It's beautiful. It's beautifully shot. I was honestly like, I didn't know what was happening. And then by the end of it, I was like, I need to know more. Like, I need the rest of this story. So it's really cool. It's a cool new thing. And I'm back in zombie media, which I've been burnt out on for so long. So
I was about to say, yeah, of course, something that you bring up again is another like scary ass horror thing.
I mean, yeah. It's that.
It's on par.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Also, yeah, also there's still a pandemic going on. Please keep wearing a mask, you guys. I just got COVID for the first time from going somewhere where I was masked the whole time. Yeah.
Yep. Still around.
Yeah. Don't lick your friends. Be careful.
Did you say don't lick your friends?
Yeah. It feels like sound advice in a post-COVID world.
Or any world?
I mean, don't do it.
Okay.
Now more than ever.
It's too late for me to talk to you about that. It's almost 2 in the morning over here.
No, go to bed.
Well, so let's see. As far as me, so the first thing, this is the first episode we are recording after this has happened. We have launched a Patreon. And so first day of launch, we have 2 members and they get their shout out. So the first one is Nuv, who friend of the show has been on multiple times and we love them. And the second one is Samson Gamgee.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
I love it.
And so, yeah, so we have 2 patrons and it's patreon.com/gameofgroanspod. We have multiple tiers. There's as little as a dollar if you just want to give us a little bit of money. We have unedited episodes. We have my notes if you want to see what the hell I'm thinking and what I'm reading from each episode. The unedited ones we record before we start the actual episode. And so it's like a pre-show kind of shit. And I cut some stuff out. There are some extra tangents that we go on a few times or things that I don't think are relevant. I'm going to be honest. The first episode was at episode 39. I cut out where Kate made me play Fuck, Marry, Kill with 3 of the Game of Thrones characters. So if you want to hear that, give us a little bit of money.
It's worth it. It was a good time.
We immediately did it.
And she was like, Mom and Dad, listen to this. And I was like, well.
Whoa. Yeah, I was like, I don't, maybe this, is, I'll put that behind a paywall. So I did. And yeah, so it's a good time. And our goal is if we get 15 patrons, we're going to add an extra bonus show. We're not sure exactly what it'll be, probably pop culture related, but that'll come out once a month as well. So that you'll get us twice a month versus just once a month. As far as anything extra I wanted to plug, I finished the last season of Owl House, which is a cartoon on Disney, which is very good. And for anyone that doesn't know, it's about this young girl who finds what's called the demon realm and wants to learn magic there and ends up befriending a witch and her little pet. And it's really cool. If kind of gives me Invader Zim vibes, if like that's, you know, if I don't even know if you watch that, Jay.
See that.
I've seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. It's very reminiscent of like kind of weird, kind of gross, but also a cartoon. So it's silly. I really enjoy the story with that. Yeah. So Kate, socials.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Ophelia Swims, Ophelia like from Hamlet, 5 WIMS. Come talk to me. about stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't even know what I do on Twitter anymore. I just like scroll through and like fan art. That's pretty much it.
That's yeah.
Sounds like the healthiest use of Twitter, to be honest.
It basically, honestly, I'm not fighting brands or anything. And one of my friends doesn't have a Twitter. So every now and then she's like, can you tweet this for me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. All right. Yeah. So
incredible.
Okay. That's an interesting relationship.
That's what friends are for, as you do.
Mm-hmm. To yeah. tweet there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. She's like, I have a hot take. And I was like, done.
Okay. If you happen to want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, it's at Kabbalah Bateman. It's mostly just puzzles recently. I'm doing a shit ton of those. Yeah.
You're crushing them. You're doing great behind those puzzles. Me.
Thank you. I just finished another today. You can follow the show on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Game of Groans Pod. If you really like the show, come visit us on Patreon, or you can tell another friend about the podcast. I know that the new Game of Thrones show is coming out, so if you want to binge the old one, tell someone else about it. Maybe they'll want to watch it with us. Yeah. So, Jay, thank you again for taking quite a bit of your time of the morning to talk to us about Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And so, without further ado, Jay and Kate, what do we say to the God of Death?
Not today.
Not today.
Yeah. Game of Groans was created, hosted, edited, and produced by Emily Bateman, and the music is by Simon Dom.